So, Dave Weiner here. It is Tuesday, December 20th, 2022. And just had a few comments about a short exchange I had on Twitter with Guy Kawasaki, a very good longtime friend. He certainly helped me a lot. I hope that there have been times when I've helped him. And I know we share a very similar philosophy, but we, in terms of software and users, not very similar. It's the same one. I mean, that's why we get along. That's why we've been able to work together. And so the question that Guy was asking is, why doesn't everybody in his circle, migrate to LinkedIn instead of Mastodon or whatever, because there is a migration out of Twitter right now. And so I responded basically saying that the great thing about migrating to Mastodon is that when people are there, that's a place that developers can make products for them without any limits. We can do whatever we want. And that's really important because if we are migrating off of Twitter, then we are emerging from 16 years of not being able to do whatever we want, being defined by the platform, and it was a very limited definition. You know, the thing that made the Macintosh so great in the early days is that it had all this power, and yet it presented the power to a developer not entirely in a wide open way. I mean, it wasn't like the Apple II. On the Apple II, we could go right down to the hardware. In fact, for some things, you had to go down to the hardware. On the Mac, no, you couldn't do that. There were limits, but not so many limits that we couldn't. I'm sure you remember, Guy, that in the first version of Think Tank, we made our own user interface. And, the folks at Apple were not very happy with us, nor were the people we hired at the company. I remember one of the guys, the first guys we hired, came in and said, "Well, you know, we are changing that, don't you?" And we did. Absolutely, we did change it. There are benefits to having user interface standards and things like that. And okay, I'm not against that. But what I am, and I'm not against corporate platforms either. I think they're fine. You know, I did a lot of development work on Twitter's platform. But we could talk about, they didn't do any marketing for developer products. And so people didn't even know that they could use developer products. And you get a blank stare when you say, "Hey, I've got this great product. It does what you're doing by hand. It does it automatically, and it does it better," and fell on deaf ears. Which is, if you recall, that was the way the software market was defined for the Macintosh. So my hope is that we could get to a place where we would have a lot of users in a place where we could make products for them. That's my dream, Guy. That's what I want. I even have a slogan for it. It's called "Users and Developers Party Together." And that was the slogan for podcasting, by the way, when we were starting podcasting. That was the story. The story was, we've got developers here and we've got users here, and we can't do it without both. We need both. As a developer, I must have users. it's not just that I must have users. I mean, I don't charge people any money for my software. You know, my philosophy is I get a lot out of developing it, and this is what I do. And I was lucky early in my career. I had a successful company, and we, yada, yada, yada. I don't need the money. And so I don't charge people for it, but what I get in return from people using it is I get my ideas bounced off them. I see which ones work, which don't. I see what ideas they have. I see what new paths they take through my product. So I learn that, okay, I need to think about that some more, and how can I make that easier? And while I'm doing that, I'm sitting right there with them using the product. you know? And so I can identify with them, and I can identify with the developers, the people who are working on the products. And we have a shot here in the Mastodon world of creating a really incredible developer community. And what we need for that is users. And we need users like you, to be honest. And by the way, we are getting the users. That's a great thing. I mean, it's I got an email from a guy who writes for a big publication. I don't want to like put anybody on the spot here. And this is a guy a few weeks ago. And never in a million years would I have thought that I could get him to even look at one of my products. I mean, they just really don't think very much. I don't know what they think of me, but they never, it never would have occurred to me that one of those guys would, now they are using it, guy, because it's on Mastodon. And because being on Mastodon makes people think differently about networks. And so, yeah, it is probably quite a bit harder to get started on Mastodon than it is on LinkedIn. And it's always that way. You know, it was easier, I'll give you an analogy. It was easier in 1984 for somebody who worked inside of, the Pentagon. We sold a lot of outliners and presentation tools to the Pentagon. On for the Macintosh back in those days. It would have been a lot easier for them, for those people, to just stay with the computers that the Pentagon gave them. I mean, obviously, they had computers there, right? But instead, they got Macs. So it was harder for them because they had to, because just you had to do more to get a Mac. Their in-house computer people would have set up, probably did set up computers for them to use. But what they got in return was they got access to software that was developed by people outside their organizations, independent people, people who were looking at the world from a very different point of view from the one that their internal developers were. The same thing's going to happen at LinkedIn. How do I know? Because it's always been that way. When I was a CompuServe user in the early 1980s, and I've flipped out on CompuServe, I mean, for me, CompuServe was a revelation. I had used computers in a networking environment at the university, Unix. University of Wisconsin, but I had never used one that was usable by people who were not computer science students, and that was CompuServe. You would have looked at CompuServe and you said, well, that's a lot harder to use than, I don't know, what would they have been using in its place?
Sure, but first you'll have to unlock your device.
Oh, God. One of my computers is talking to me. No, I will not have to unlock my device, dear. Jeez Louise. what an interesting sidebar that was. That was the revelation of CompuServe. Here I was. I loved their CB radio thing. It was basically a chat room and with channels, and the same people would show up every night, and the people inside the company, I know this because my brother worked at the company at the time, they used to call us the Lonely Hearts Club. Well, that's really fucked up, of course, right? But do you think that people who thought of us as the Lonely Hearts Club would have created good software for us? They felt very superior. And, you know, you see this inside big companies. I'm sure, I'm 100% sure it's like that at LinkedIn. I'm not 100%. Maybe the times have changed a little bit. It's possible. But I found when I ran my own software company and when I've gotten involved in group development projects on the internet since I had my own company, I find that people think very wrongly about users. I mean, so you need the reality check and you need the independent developers. I mean, that's the thing, is that if you bring independent, if you open it up to so that the people who use the system can create the software. Now, I know that sounds wrong, but you know something? The best developers, I won't say they're the best developers, but a good kind of developer is one who came out of the user community and out of necessity learned how to program because they couldn't get anybody to implement the features they wanted. And if it's easy enough to program, you get a lot of that kind of stuff. And And that was also one of the cool things. I mean, that's why HyperCard was successful. That's why HyperCard was so popular, because it meant that, you know, people with ideas could at least show other people what they had in mind. I mean, that was the magic of podcasting. That's how Adam Curry showed me his idea. He had tried to describe it to me in words, but for whatever reason, I didn't hear what he was saying. But when he showed it to me, I did get it. And, you know, so there's a lot that can happen in Mastodon that just can't happen in LinkedIn. And so we ask of you, the user, to put up with a little bit of complexity, and the people you bring in, tell them it's okay. You can do this. Setting up a Mastodon account really isn't that big a deal, honestly. And learning how to use it, it's one of those things that's, it's like, I don't know, do you do anything that's not easy? I like crossword puzzles. I find the Monday and Tuesday crossword puzzles to be too easy and not interesting. What's great about a crossword puzzle, that's something that I've learned over the years, is that just staring at it and staring. And then, okay, I'm going to go stare in another corner for a while. And it works. Eventually you solve the crossword. It's the staring. I don't know why it works that way, but it does. The things that are hard intellectually can be very satisfying. And this is, I think, what people are tripping out about Mastodon right now, is that you should do it. I'll tell you another reason why you should do it. If you recall, I was the one that told you you needed to use Twitter. I remember seeing you at a conference. It was a GnomeDex conference in Seattle. I hadn't seen you in a while, and this was the time when Twitter was just really starting to go. And I saw you there, and I thought, wow, he really would love Twitter. And I didn't have to convince you. I just said, you know, guy, you should try Twitter. You really love it. I was prepared to do a lot more. But as far as I know, it was that day or day after you got on Twitter, and the rest is history. So if you go to LinkedIn, well, you know, that's like going to the nursing home in a way. Nothing will ever happen there. But if you come with us to Mastodon, you get to use some of my new software, hopefully. I don't know. Am I dreaming too much? It's like, I would absolutely love to have you as a user again, guy. And if you go that way, you'll have that chance for sure. If you go the other way, you won't have that chance for sure. It's a fork in the road. You'll be over on Mastodon eventually, actually. I'm pretty sure of it. But anyway, that's all I have to say for now. Talk to you later. Bye.